came. We'll be rounding up today concerning the teachings we've been having on prayer. Ephesians 6. So we'll remind ourselves again of slightly basic truths. And it's my understanding, a few days of being a pastor, that some particular subject matters requires much repetition for the principles to stick. And then through the principle of repetition, we are enabled to practice. So it's one thing to hear, it's another thing to practice. Now, practice is the end result of teaching. That means that the teaching is only effectual when the saints are walking in the light of what is taught. And that's what understanding gives, which is when you're walking in it, not just hearing, not just accumulating messages, but you're now understanding and you're practicing what you have heard and what you have been taught. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6, I want to read from verse 17. It says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Okay, verse 19 says, "And for me that all trust may be given unto me, I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Hallelujah. So we have stayed with this as a main text for our teaching on the teaching series has been the prayer life of the believer. And our emphasis, we started off by looking at the nature and character of God when it comes to a believer praying. But then along the line, we began to emphasize more about why do we need to pray always. Look at verse 18. It says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication." Verse 17 says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So when it says take the helmet of salvation, you will notice from all the way from verse 12, when it speaks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in evil places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. When he begins to describe that whole armor, you will notice that every single aspect of it has to do with the mind. So when it says put on or take on, it's talking about a renewed mind, a mind that's renewed with the realities of our redemption. That's what it's talking about. That's what the whole armor of God is talking about. Hallelujah. Everything it's talking about, it has to do with the state of your soul, your mind. There's a consciousness of authority you are meant to have. There's a revelation of the authority and of the grace of God at work in a believer that you ought to have, which the Bible now calls the whole arm of God. So we're just deliberately starting from verse 17, because that's what we're teaching on. It says, "Above all, take the helmet of salvation." Let your thinking be influenced by the fact that you are not one of the Eden. You are saved. Say, "I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I'm a child of God." So it says, take that mindset into the prayer life. Because you are saved, because you are advantaged, you are not impoverished in Christ. You are one of the blessed ones. You are one of the favored ones. You are in Christ. You are already saved. Take the element of salvation, the reality of your redemption, when you want to pray, and then the word of God, praying always. So a believer prays with the understanding, I am already privileged. I am already blessed with all spiritual blessings. Hallelujah. And because I'm in that position, then I can act on verse 18. What's verse 18? Praying always with all prayer and supplication. So it is not sober thinking or sound thing for a believer to start thinking, I myself need prayers. We all need prayers. But it seems that one of the ways you stick your place is that you realize that there is something about you and the blessing of God that's meant to flow out to others in place of prayer. Or God is counting on your praying to actually administer help, aid, supernatural intervention to others. It says praying always. Why do we pray always? Verse 18 says for all saints. That means there will never be a time where there won't be saints who require help and assistance. There will never be a time when we have every saint fully grown. So spiritual growth is something we always pray about. There will never be a time when we have all saints their faith is working at all times. There will never be a time when we have all saints are strong or walking the light of who they are and what they have. So it says praying always with all prayer and supplication. The word supplication means earnest praying. It's something about something that's continuous. So this is not prayer of faith. You know, I believe it, I confess it, that's it, you know. This is continuous praying. Praying always with all prayer and what? Supplication. And watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. The word perseverance means staying power. You stay there. Again, a believer's prayer life does not constitute his praying for he, his wife and his children and his extended family, and that's all. Is it for all saints? So we've established that, again, if you step out into the prayer life or praying in the spirit, you will discover that there are always things to pray about. Or as you begin to pray in the spirit, the Spirit of God will give you assignments, or the Spirit of God will roll over things upon you for you to pray out. Now, the Spirit of God can roll those things over onto you. You are the one who is authorized to pray them out. You are the one who is authorized to pray them out. That means it's a personal responsibility, sacred responsibility. How will you be conscious of such burdens? You can't be until you start praying most of the time. So as you step over into the prayer life, which is, this is business, this is what you do. If you're going to pray about yourself, the problems of your life can't be that many. They are praying always about it, except you're not aware of what you have in Christ. So praying always is a reference to the fact that the only reason why a believer is praying always is because there are always people to pray for. There are always needs that need to be met. There's always a supply of the Spirit that needs to be administered in the place of prayer. So the believer is praying always. So a believer is never done praying. You can be done praying for a season concerning your own life, but you are never done praying as far as the prayer of a believer is concerned. You're never done praying. So there is always what to pray about. That's why the emphasis in the New Testament is not on prayer points. 21 prayers to success. That's not the emphasis. The emphasis in the New Testament is on the fact that a believer is found praying. What are you praying about? I'm just praying. Why are you just praying? There's a supply of the Spirit being made available through me to meet other people's needs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So remember, God loves us all equally, but there are those who are more trusted. More trusted simply means they are more yielded to God in place of prayer. And the place of prayer is not those that God loves that matters, it's those that he can trust that really matters. To trust means somebody's life is at stake. Can I trust you to get up to pray? If I need you to pray for there to be a supply for that person to be healed. Let me put it another way. Look at Ephesians 3. Let's read Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, let's read from verse 14. We're going to read fast. Ephesians 3 from verse 14. We're going to verse 20. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Where? In the inner man. Next verse. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to compare with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Look at verse 20. Now unto him that is what? Able to do. What is God's part? Able to do. That's God's part. So there's your part, there's God's part. What's God's part? He's able to do. So there is no lack of ability on God's part. If you stop there, you will push all the responsibility on God. And that's why people get faces like, if God wanted to do it, he would do it. Not so. We'll read the whole scripture to have a full picture of what is God's will. He says, now unto him that is able to do. Is God able to do? Yes. Is there a lack of ability on God's part? No. With that ability, is God able to do anything? Yes. In fact, he now gives a qualification for that ability. He says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think. So, according to the power that worketh in us. Which power is he referring to? Resurrection power that is present in every single believer. He now says that power, listen carefully, it works by thinking and asking. That's how it works. What is the power about? The power is a deposit that God placed within the church, the body. What is the responsibility of the one who possesses the power? Is to think and ask, or is to work that power in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. What's God's part? By the resurrection of Jesus, there's exceeding greatness of God's power towards every single believer. When we come together, much more we're conscious of that power. Now, what is that power for? The Bible says that power can do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think, which is the power that we are dwelling in that surrounds us is the power that exceeds any need or situation that may arise. That's what that means. But does the power work by itself? That's where responsibility comes in. The power though strong, the power though mighty, the power though has dimensions, that power doesn't work by itself. It says, according to the power that worketh in us, it says, beyond what we can ask or think. So there is no situation. You know, when we're looking at believers' authority, we saw when Paul says that the exceeding greatness of his power towards every believer, that word exceeding means that what was measured out to you at the new birth is what is over and above. It's like saying this is the goal. And then in that treat beyond that mark, to throw something beyond the mark, surpass. Something that surpasses everything that you can imagine or think. That's the power. So in Ephesians 3, that's Ephesians 1. Ephesians, it just gives us a greater understanding that, listen, the power works in line with what is in us. We are the ones who work the power. What is God's part? The ability is there, is ability that can do. Hallelujah. Let me give you a natural illustration so you get it. Man discovered electricity. Man didn't create electricity. Okay? Now, what man created were appliances that can work with electricity. Okay, so because of electricity, I'm using this mic to project sound. Because of electricity, we're using bulbs to shine light into this auditorium. Because of electricity, we have cool air coming through the AC vents. All of them are using the same source, but not the same appliance. So the electric power is not emotional. Yeah, it's no respect of persons. It doesn't say I will work for A, I won't work for B. It works for everyone who understands the principles and uses it. So what determines what the power does is the appliance you plug into it. Yes or no? Now this same power we're using here, when we plug an iron, what we use the iron for? To iron your clothes. So when NEPA supplies you electricity, they don't tell you what to do with it. The answer is to supply, then you determine. Now, when they supply the city, they don't come to us and switch on the light bulb for you. You are the one who does. Why do they leave it to your disposal so you can control when it's on and off? Hallelujah. Are you with me tonight? So you can control when it's on or off. Now, it is electricity. It is power in raw form. Then you use the power in the manner in which you decide to use it. That's your choice. Hallelujah. That's our choice. That's not God's choice. The only way God lets us know his choice is not by giving us power, it's by giving us his word to let us know what his will is. So listen carefully. When you're born again, whether you have the word of God or not, there's exceeding greatness of his power towards you. What does the word do? It guides you. It renews your mind to know what is the power meant to be used for. Let me give an illustration. You know, the coca plant. How many of you know the coca plant? Where cocaine comes from? How many of you know they use it for medication purposes? Okay, so that is the proper use. But is there cocaine? Is there heroin? Okay, what do you call those ones? Hard drugs, isn't it? Why do you call them hard drugs? Someone says because they are hard. Now, it's because it's abused. It's been abused. But when used in certain quantities, it's meant to actually relieve pain from patients that are going through pain. But it can also be what abuse. You see, people are abusing things. The neatest one now is codeine. Okay, now, it has a particular medicinal purpose, which is good. But it can be used differently. So, when it was created, did God have the negative aspect in mind? No. Who created that part? Man. So, the electricity that will cook your food, that will lighten your house, that will iron your clothes, that will cool your room, can fry you if you plug your hand into it directly. Because you discover your body is not an appliance that's meant to conduct electricity, isn't it? Now, so electricity is one of the best examples you can use to explain what is God's power like. Now listen carefully. James chapter 5. Glory to God. You know, this is the last I'm going to say about this for a while. So that's why I'm trying to say a lot tonight. So please, just follow me before we now pray. Okay? I'm trying to say a lot tonight. But you need to get this. Because if you can get this, because it's not every prayer, listen carefully, that we pray in the body that is to God what? There's prayer that by the Spirit of God, God operates through us outward. It's not prayer that's to God what? And if you don't understand about prayer, you will not be explaining many mysterious happenings that take place. We think every time you're praying to God what? Not directly. When you're praying to God what, a lot of times it's so that certain things can be changed. Because the person you're praying to, according to scriptures, the power you're asking for is not necessarily directly with him. He has put it in a place, it's located in the body. Within the body, now administrates it as a believer's prayer. If you understand what I'm saying. so. It's more of praying something out than praying something in. The only time a believer can speak about praying a virtue in is that you're saying that what is available for you in the Holy Ghost in your spirit should flow into your soul. That's the difference. But there is nothing a believer lacks that he doesn't have already in Christ. And because you are in Christ, you are where everything is. Hallelujah. James chapter 5, quickly. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be. You know, we've treated this before. Haven't we treated this before? So confess your faults one to another is not confess sins. It's called faults. Confess your faults doesn't mean confess sins. Notice this one to another. That means if I offend Brati, I should go to Brati and say, I'm sorry about what I did yesterday. So that our relationship can be healed. There can be no strife between us. Do I need to confess my sins to God? Not necessarily. Because God can't be angry. But do I need to confess my sins to my fellow believers, my faults to fellow believer? Yes. I don't just overlook it and walk away. I think that's what it didn't happen. No. I walk up to the person. I'm really sorry about what I did. I know you're offended. I'm sorry. What are you doing? You want your relationship to be healed. You don't overlook such things. Why? We are believers. We help each other to walk in love. So we don't overlook such things. You don't say, what is done is done. No. What's done is not done. In fact, you're confessing your fault to your neighbor, to your friend, who you offended, is a sign of repentance. It says that you, not God, you may be healed. You may be healed means that there's something stopping the flow of God's healing power. And it's because of the strife that exists between you. Do you understand? That's what it's saying. Confess one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. That word healing actually refers to the relationship actually between the two persons. That's what it's talking about. Look at the next verse. The effectual, fervent prayer. What? A righteous man does what? Avails much. In the Amplified, the Bible says that the effectual, earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power of God available. Listen, that is dynamic in its working. The word dynamic means available for different uses. Listen. So, and is about to use someone as an example of a righteous man, Elijah. Of all people. And it says, Elijah prayed. See what it says. That it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth, but the space of 3 years. Notice that he didn't say Elijah prayed to God. Elijah prayed. And his prayer affected the weather pattern of a nation. So much power was released that Elijah stood before the king and said, there shall be no dew nor rain for the next 3 years, except at my word. That's how 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1 introduces Elijah. He didn't say he prayed. It was James who told us that Elijah actually prayed before he stood before the king. So Elijah generated power, now went to stand before the king and declared the result of the prayer. Or he said what the prayer is meant to be used for. This is how we use power. We are suspended rain. It wasn't God, it was Elijah. Notice the kind of power Elijah released. Dynamic. It means the same power could have been used for something else. But what did he use it to do? To stop rain. What was Elijah's intent? He wanted to bring Israel to repentance. That was Elijah's. Hallelujah. So it was Elijah who did it. He shut the heavens. He did. Not God. He shut the heavens. And Bible uses him as an example of a righteous man. Now listen carefully. Remember what I said about the power. The power is dynamic in its working. So the power is raw. The prayer of the saints makes the power available. Then the words of the saints tells the power what to do. Should I say that again? The prayer of the saints makes the power available. Then the words of the saints tells the power what to do. So for instance, if we're praying for you, we will tell the power, we just surround you with power. We say we make it impossible for you to die. Do you know that's possible? We make it impossible for you to fall sick. We make it impossible for you to be fruitless. Can we do that? Yes. What are we supplying? Power. What is creation about? To tell the power what to do. What is the need of the power? It is dynamic. When we say we make it impossible for you to be fruitless, we can also say we want you to be free of sickness. Why? We are simply telling the power, which is now generated, what to do. The same way, by plugging this air condition, we're telling the power we want this place to be cool. By using this microphone, we're telling the power we want you to project sound. It is the same power. Different appliances, the same power. So the appliance is what modifies the power into what it should do. Hallelujah. You understand so far? So, you know, I think on Saturday when we were praying, we went around touching seats. What happened on Sunday? There was a conflagration, isn't it? So we determined, did God want this to happen? Yes. How did he get it done? By our cooperating. That's actually what happened. So now, when you see things like that, if you are not sound when it comes to spiritual things like God's word, you will now say, ah, God moved mightily on Sunday. We hope that we move next year, January. And when it's beyond hope. We did it. That's not pride. That's just a fact, which is, in fact, that's what you call cooperating with God. He already told you, I am able to do exceeding abundantly above what you can ask or think. What is that called in English language? Blank check. Right. So if you ask for something less, that's all you can think about. No wonder in that same chapter, passage, he has prayed that you be strengthened with might by spirit in inner man, that Christ may dwell in you, that his revelation should come down. So that when you are asking, you won't ask like a peasant. You will ask like royalty. You have an idea of what the power can do. You start saying things like, as we're going for that crusade, there is nobody in the wheelchair section that will remain there. Because, listen, whether you bring 5 wheelchairs or 100 wheelchairs, it doesn't, numbers don't make any difference to God when it comes to power. Power is what? Power. What makes a difference is how much of it do we generate? I think in the Old Testament, if it's not in 2 Chronicles, it says, it is nothing with you, God, to save with many or by few. So it's not. You see, when it comes to human number, it's not number. It is a power backing them up. So, Gideon brought 22,000. God said, we need 300. Can you see the difference? Why did God say we need 300? I've been looking at them. When the thing is over, they will say, it's by our strength. But when 300 of you fight this number of nations, you can tell something else at work, not your strength. Think about it. So, he said, that person said, it is nothing with your love to say with many or by a few. So it's not in the human number, it's in the power that's generated or behind them. Think about it. And Elijah was a man of like passion, and he prayed earnestly. And the prayer he prayed released enough power, and then Elijah channeled it to affect the weather pattern. Think about it. So it wasn't necessarily that it was God who determined. Was it in line with God's will for people to repent? Yes. Was it necessary that it must be through the rains being stopped? No. That one was Elijah. Do you understand so far? How do we know that you can generate power and use it anyhow you want, and the way you're using it may not even be God's will, but it's still power? Okay? In Luke chapter 9, when they're trying to pass through Samaria, and the people there refused to allow them to pass. Remember what Peter and James said? Lord, would you that we call down fire like Elijah? The word call down fire is pray down fire. There's only one problem. You can pray down fire and the fire is not from God. How many of you understand what I just said? Should I show you the scripture? Because the way you're looking, maybe it's not in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Luke chapter 9. Look at Luke chapter 9 quickly. You need to see this so you take responsibility. Luke chapter 9. Look at verse 54. Luke 9. Look at previous verse. And he did not receive it because his faith was as though he would go to Jerusalem. That's verse 54. And when the disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command what? We what? Listen, with what? Command power to come down from. Notice they will want command. Why would they command? They have prayed. How they want to use the power they generated? Calling fire. Who first called fire as an example? Elijah. What did he do before he called fire? He had prayed. You know what Elijah does now? He will pray. Then he will call. Or he will tell the power what to do. So he said that, for me, and consume them even as what? Elijah did. Look at Jesus' response. Next verse. But he turned. So Jesus didn't let it pass. Jesus didn't ignore it. You didn't say that. You are so immature. Look at what he did. He rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. In other words, what Elijah did was wrong. That's what Jesus just said. Look at the next verse. For the Son of Man is not come to. So, if you believe, that Jesus is God. What is Jesus saying here about what the guy that did? That wasn't my will. That was Elijah's will. For the Son of Man is not come. Who is the Son of Man? Who is the Son of Man? God in the flesh. That if you want to see God, you look at Jesus. And since Jesus is God's will in two legs, Jesus is saying, I didn't come to destroy but to save. In other words, God's eternal will is always what? To save and never to destroy. So he was saying, Elijah used power the way he wanted to, but not according to my will. That's what Jesus was saying. Did the fire come? You know, if you read 2 Kings chapter 1, you'll see that story there. He called the fire for the first time. 50 men and their captain were burnt. He called fire a second time. Why do you think he didn't call the third time? Because the man begged him. No. The man begged him, the third one. But that wasn't why Elijah stopped. An angel went to him and said, it's okay. Don't be afraid. Go with him. They won't hurt you. You can read the story. It was the angel that told him, go with him. God was tired of the people dying. Maybe one day we'll study angels, you will see something about angels and fire. The same way it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. If you understand some things about angels, we'll look into angelic music. We'll look at that again, one of these, very, very soon. We'll teach again. You will see something about angels don't understand forgiveness. They don't know anything about the plan of salvation. They don't understand mercy. It's not that they are wicked. They don't. They were not wired that way. It was his angels' desire to look into the plan of salvation. They don't understand it. Do you understand? Because salvation is not for them. They don't understand it. So if you scroll through scriptures, you will see there's something about presence of angels and fire. That's one of the reasons why when the law was inaugurated, you saw fire on the mountain. Because angels were the ones who did it through Moses. We'll look at that later. Not this stuff today. I just want to see them. But look at, I want to see one of them. Elijah prayed and generated tremendous power. He used it negatively. But it was used as an example to show you something, that the power of God is in essence mechanical. It can be channeled in a particular direction. So look at Philippians 1 now. Philippians 1. We've got to run 19. Look at what Paul said. 17. But the other, verse 16. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Paul was in prison. He was in prison here. So Paul was speaking about what was happening to him. But the honor of love, knowing that I'm set for defense of the gospel, verse 18. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein I do rejoice. Yea, I will rejoice. Verse 19. For I know. I want to see Paul's absolute statement. For I know that these shall turn to my salvation. So we said, another word for salvation here is what? Deliverance. This shall turn to my deliverance. Deliverance from one, from captivity. It was in prison. This shall turn to my salvation. How? Through your prayer. I want the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Don't let those words confuse you. Depending on the kind of phrase you like using. If you like the word anointing, that's what it's talking about. Your prayers will supply the right measure of anointing that will minister deliverance to me. Now, listen carefully. Paul was an apostle. Paul worked in signs and wonders. Paul had wrought miracles. There was no church that Paul started that it wasn't wrought through miracles, where they were not established through the teaching of the gospel and miraculous works. The same apostle was now telling them, listen, everything I told you about the power of God within the church is true. That's why I'm saying, I know. If you folks pray, the measure of power released, which is a supply of the Spirit of Jesus, will minister or ensure my deliverance. Paul was saying so. So Paul was saying, it is not a one-man game. It's not a one-man business. This thing about a believer's work is not about a one-man thing. The believer will experience liberty, deliverance, rescue from difficulty when the saints start praying. Hallelujah. This is the Apostle Paul. You can't teach more grace than he teaches. And he's telling you, even my own prayer is not sufficient. The whole church. What was Paul to the church? It was a gift to the body. Paul was now saying, the same body that realizes I'm a gift, they can get more done by their praying than I can do by my own praying alone. He says, I know this shall turn. The word turn means, this is how the situation is going. Good can come out of it instead of the way it's going. How will that good come out? He says, by the ministration of the supply of the Spirit through your praying. So when a believer is praying, you're supplicating, what you are generating is power or a supply of the Spirit to bring about a change in situations. That means we can affect men's lives for good. We can help people overcome bad habits. We can help families become more stable, more steady. We can actually pray believers into a steady walk. What are we doing? We're generating power. Somebody says, well, Pastor, why do you have to keep praying that way? Because sometimes the person you're praying for and about may not always cooperate with your prayer. I hope you know that. Men have a right to exercise their will, both positively and negatively. It's like you praying for an uncle or an aunt to be saved. You are thinking, God has not answered my prayer. Not so. The reason is because the will of man can't be violated. What do you keep doing until they are saved? You keep praying. That you sent, you prayed that God will send laborers. The first person was sent. The person didn't listen. You pray again. The power releases another person. You pray again. Why? Until the person succumbs and listens. You don't stop praying until you see results. What does that mean? It is not that your prayer is not working. It is the person who is nullifying. Because as men are being sent to preach to that person, the person is saying no. You know, some people are very obstinate. Some people, they got into kingdom by their whiskers. They just managed just sleeping. Finally. So, the challenge is this. What is your prayer doing? Paul says it will supply the Spirit. So there is something about the prayer of the saints and about the supply of the Spirit. In other words, I can intelligently channel power in a particular direction to effect certain things. Hallelujah. I need you to see this. Let me say it again. Most of the time, it's not God. God is not hard of hearing. If God is one who is going to be doing everything and he can get everything done at once, think about the tremendous power and God's wisdom. Bible says his ways are past finding out. So it can't be a function of you dealing directly with God alone. You're dealing with men. You're wrestling with other forces upon the earth. So sometimes it takes time for enough power to be generated. That's why some prayers never get done in 10 minutes. And this is why you are generating power. It's a process. Jesus will go pray all night. His own all night is 12 hours. He will come down, select 12 men. It takes strength internally to know. Out of the 12 you selected, one of them will betray you as he pick him. But you don't know. You know. After you prayed all night, you now come and select 12. And you know one of them will still betray you and you still pick him. Think about it. Then, after that kind of praying, he will go into a ship and be sleeping. My disciples will now be praying. When he wake him, he will now get and say, peace be still, and go back to bed. Why is he saying peace be still? He has generated power. The statement is just to administer the power. That's what. Think about it. Power has been generated. You don't use words alone to deal with a wayward child. Are you not a believer? Don't you have the life of God? You get into prayer. You pray out some things. When you speak, it is no longer a shouting match between you and the child like it used to be. Even child will know something has changed. You don't like this game again. This is the game you like. Just, that's the game I like. Okay. You don't know that when you say you don't like this, this is what you now like. Because the child is being excessive in this area. The teachers have complained. Other people have complained. Your child is, and you are still trying to use reason. The things you are dealing with are beyond logic. You pray the child out. When you speak to that child now, what you say with so, because it's not words that you are ministering, it's power. You know, law of physics says that every object will remain in a position of rest until an external force moves it. You now want to move an object or change a child's life. That is, object doesn't even have a will. A child has a will. You want to do it by ordinary speaking. You've not generated power. You see, the child is developing interest in the wrong things. Such things, no amount of ordinary shouting can produce results. You pray, generate power. When you need power, when you now speak, the speaking part is the release. So when you are speaking, something is eating that child and causing that to be aligned in the right direction. How what you are doing? Why? The power is dynamic. It can be used for different things. Hallelujah. God told you to nurture the child or raise up that child. Teach that the way the child should go. That's what the Bible says. It is, I will come and teach him for you. You do that. I've given responsibility. So there's intelligent use of power. You pray first before you speak. In your speak on how it was. But when they become teenagers, their most popular word at teenagers is why. You've noticed this. Everything is why. Go to bed. Why? I'm telling you. Stop playing that. Why? Can I go to my friend's house? No. Why? That's why some people call them the terrible things. But they don't have to be terrible. Why? You pray them out. When you're speaking, it is power that is eating them. Because you know what is good for them. Otherwise, you just spend the rest of your life complaining, complaining, complaining. And before you know what's happening, you find yourself using words. This child never listens. This child is obedient. This child, I'm tired. This child, you are just releasing more negative energy. When you have to have. So, when you are praying and you are... By the time you open your mouth to speak towards the child now, the child wasn't what you were speaking to before. You were releasing power before. When you come out of your closet to speak now, it is power that is eating the child through your words. That's intelligent parenting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says, I know this child. So Paul is saying, I'm counting on prayers of the church. He says, something is flowing from you folks to me and it's power. And it will turn around, affect the will of men who put me in prison. I arrange things in such a way that I will get my discharge and release from prison so that I will restore to you sooner. But who is in charge of getting the power? Us. Who gives the power? God. Where is the power? In the church. How does it work? Ever present. What do you do with it? You generate it or you release it. Or you minister a supply. Now, there are different supplies required for different situations. So we look at Acts chapter 12 again. Wow. Our time is fast gone. Acts 12, verse 1. We're going to read quickly. Now, by that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that he pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And then were the days of what? Or living bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to two, four contingents of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. That's 16 men. Okay? You can... Because Peter was at that time, was the visible head of the church at that time. So you can imagine that he put him with his best men, commandos, SARS. Okay, the very best, 16 men to guard one man. So, next verse. Peter therefore was kept in prison. Listen carefully. But prayer was made of the church. No, they could have had a prayer chain, but they kept praying of the church unto God for him. Next verse. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Now, let me see, why was Peter sleeping? Have you thought about it? Peter is, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. The same night they would have brought him, that means that when he was the eve of his death, they planned it. Now, remember that in the book of John, when Jesus was about to ascend, no one of these told Peter. He said, when you are old, somebody else will guard you and lead you by the way you don't want to go. Was Peter old here? Not yet. How was he sleeping? He knew. He doesn't know fully what was going to happen. But he knew that this is not the time. That's what Jesus said. I will leave. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So Peter was, how was Peter cooperating with their prayers? He was at peace. Be careful for nothing. But look at what happened then. Prayer was made without ceasing. Of the church. Now, they prayed till the eve of the execution. Why did it take that much time? Because God is hard of hearing? No. It took that much time to generate the necessary supply. How? What the supply produced? Look at the next verse. Next verse. No. This is not the next verse. He jumped. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. Do you see that? That's what the prayer generated. And the light shining in the prison. And he smote Peter where? On the... Now, listen. Sometimes we don't realize some things that we read, what it means. The Bible says that he makes his angels spirits and his ministers flames of fire. Angels are spirits. They don't have a physical body. They have a spiritual body. Men have a physical body. It takes tremendous power, listen carefully, for an angel who is spirit to be able to physically touch you. It takes power. That's why you don't see them touching most of the time. For them to appear and touch you physically, because they are not physical. They can generate physical strength. It takes a lot of power for an angel who is spirit, for spirit to touch body. It takes power. You may not have seen that phrase. It takes power. So the amount of power they generated was such that the angel was not just able to appear, he was able to actually, if he woke Peter up, that means Peter was not just sleeping casually. His appearing in the prison didn't wake Peter up. He had to wake Peter up. So his touch was physical, spirit to flesh, and became physical. That's power. Think about it. That's power. So he says, and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell up. What was the angel using? Power generated by the saints. Notice what the Bible says about angels. Psalm 103 verse 20. Quick, really? Psalm 103 verse 20. Thank you. So the Bible says about angels. Bless the Lord, you use angels that excel in what? They excel in what? That do his commandments. How? Hearkening to the voice of his word. So, how do angels hearken to the voice of God's word? It's only as that word comes to the lips of men. It is men that give voice to the word of God that angels hearken to. That's how it works. So, angels will hearken the voice of God's word that men are saying. It is men that give voice to God's word. It's men. So, as the saints were praying, what was taking place in the realm of the spirit? An angel was assigned. Listen carefully. Because, again, I want to say something else. That's why I said I'm suspecting that we need to do a series of angels. When they prayed and the angel was made manifest, did the angel come from heaven? Did the angel come from heaven? Did the angel come from heaven? So, the exam. Did the angel come from heaven? Where was the angel? On the earth. What was he doing? Roaming around? Oh, was he roaming around? Do you notice that the church prayed without season until the eve of the execution? What do you think made them pray without season? It's in that same chapter. Herod had taken James, had killed him. The church woke up. They were asleep. Not only James, before James, it was Stephen. Both were mighty. They saw that if they did nothing, God could do nothing. God exercises strength and ability through the church. That's what God does. They saw that they missed it. Why did they pray without season? Why was prayer fervent? James is gone. Then when they were successfully able to take Peter, they knew trouble. Do you know how many people's faith would have been affected by Peter's arrest and death? They knew there was trouble. So they began to pray, which was all that God needed. Why? They thought. And that's one thing that it's amazing how many believers just think. If God wants to do it, he will just do it. Foolish thinking. Very foolish thinking. He has already told you his will, and his will is more than a wish. He released power to make it so, but it is in our hands, our responsibility. Hallelujah. It means if we won't pray, we don't generate the power, even though the power is present. That's what it means. The implication is that the angel that could deliver James was there. No power was generated. Look at Psalm 34. 34, verse 7. Psalm 34. Can we all read that one to go? The angel of the Lord and come out upon them, that one. And so the angel couldn't do the and. What do the angels do? They encamp. What does it mean to encamp? Can you tell me? This is your assignment. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister? They have been sent forth already. So where are they? They are here. What are they meant to do? They are encamping. Encamp means that they are around us to operate. Can they operate automatically? No. What makes them operate? The prayer of the saints releases them. they are encamped so that they can deliver. So the difference between they are just encamping and delivering is our praying. When the saints pray, the angels are able to deliver or carry out their assignments. So was an angel present when James was taking? Yes. Why couldn't he work? No power to activate him or to release him. No power. That's the difference. Why? God is no respecter of persons. God wasn't interested in James dying. He now wasn't interested in Stephen coming up. I want you to imagine what Stephen would have become by the time we see him in chapter 15 of Acts. He died in chapter 7. Only God knows, because that guy was a shining light. Was an example for many, many saints. He was one of the people that debunked all these religious claims that power is only meant for the apostles. He wasn't one of the apostles. And he was working in power. And he was an usher. I mean, so no argument. He was an usher. And he was working in power. So you can imagine why Satan wanted him to shut up. Because the angel of the encamp. What is the purpose of that encamp? So that anytime deliverance is necessary, they can deliver. That's what the Bible teaches. But can they just deliver that says no? One that just delivers, prayer ministers a supply that brings them on the scene or that helps them to manifest. Let me put it this way: the realm where they operate, they're operating on the heart, they are still spirits and they operate in the spirit realm. So to cross over from spirit to natural, it takes power. They have no right to do that. Do you know that if you read Luke chapter 1, when Zechariah had an encounter with the angel, read the passage very well. People were praying outside and he was ministering inside. Think, pray. So it was, and it was at the time of the evening sacrifice. So there was a particular time. The saints, not were they not saints anyway, they were outside praying. And when they were praying, he was inside, then the angel came. Don't you know there's a connection between their prayer and the angel that came? Read it very well. By the time he came out and he couldn't speak, he was signaling to the people. Who were the people? They were the Jews who were worshiping in the temple, who were praying. When they get, so there's something. Hallelujah. About the manifestation of angels and prayer. The same thing we saw in Luke 22, that it was when Jesus prayed, an angel appeared and strengthened him. That's spiritual to physical. Think about it. That takes power. Hallelujah. That takes what? Power. Can a believer be captured? They captured Peter, the Pope. They captured him. Can you have more anointing? Hardly. Was he captured? Yes. How was he delivered? The saints prayed. That also tells you, no matter who is captured, listen carefully, there is nobody that we cannot deliver through prayer. If we pray like we ought to pray. That's what it means. A child is kidnapped. Somebody is taken. Can we get them delivered? Yes. Can we get them rescued? Yes. How do we do that? We generate enough power in prayer concerning them. And we get results. Hallelujah. I mean, this is intelligent praying based on scriptures now. That this is what we want to do. And this is what is going to be the outcome. And we're doing it deliberately, channeling power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, the angel was one who ministered to Peter. And then Peter was released. I don't want to go further in that. But we don't have time tonight to go further. But I will have shown you some things in the book of Esther. How many of us know the story of Esther? Does Esther know you? When you get to heaven, when you see her, will she recognize you? She recognizes only those who have read that book more than once. People like us. But, you know, in the book of Esther, if you read from chapter 4, you notice that there was a particular man called Haman who was agitating against Mordecai. The book of Esther is not a straightforward book. It's a book of types and shadows. Okay? Because it's one of the few books in the Bible where they don't mention God. Okay? They don't mention God in that book. That's very interesting because there are certain figures in that book that are meant to portray spiritual realities. Okay? Esther represents how the church will look like. Mordecai represents the spirit of God. Okay? So, when Haman plotted against Esther, against Mordecai and all the people of the Jews, okay, and then they told Esther that Mordecai was in mourning and was sackcloth and ashes because of the plot against them. She sent the message because Mordecai was her uncle that, you know, they should give him new clothes. He refused it and told her that she should do something. And Esther said, listen, there's a decree, there's a rule. And that decree is this: it's only the person that the king calls for that can go in. You can't just go in onto him. So there's a decree now. That's a political issue now. Well, in those days, it wasn't about politics because kings rule by decrees. It's not by general consensus. No. A decree. She said, I have not been requested or asked to come in to see the king these last 30 days. And there is only one, if you go in without being summoned, there's only one decree, death. The only exception is, by the time you appear, if the king will stretch forth his step towards you to show favor, then you will leave. So, when he told Mordecai that, Mordecai sent a message back to her and said that, listen, don't think that because you are in the palace, the destruction will not eventually get to you. He said, but understand something. That man's revelation is wonderful. Understand something. Maybe you are not aware you are in the kingdom for such a time as this, where you are in that position. Because Esther has always been in the king's favor, or usual favor. So you are in the kingdom for such a time as this. So take your place and position and hack now. He said, but understand this. If you don't do what you're meant to do, because of the nature of the relationship that the Jews have with God, deliverance and enlargement will come to them from another source. If God has to raise another source. When Esther heard, he said that, tell him that all of them should fast and let's pray for 3 days. What were they doing in 3 days? Generating power. When Esther appeared before the king stretched forth scepter. He has to. Power has gone ahead. Then the next thing that happened when he said your scepter is this. The king was the first person to speak, not Esther. And that's why I said, if you read the book of Esther, it's like a time of the church. What did King say? Listen carefully if you read the story very well. He said, rise, Queen Esther. Ask what you will. It shall be given even to the half of my kingdom. You know what that means? There's nothing you want to ask, I won't grant. Just ask anything. What does that sound to you? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I want, ask or think. So, what was Esther about to ask for our people? What was King offering? Even if you want half of the kingdom, is yours. So, what you're about to ask for cannot match what I'm ready to give. That's what the king was saying. That's the level of favor that was at operation. Now, if you read further, did the king answer Esther or grant his request? Yes, he did. But there's something else that was generated by their praying for 3 days that wasn't part of the bargain. Haman had plotted for Mordecai to die. Then the same prayer ensured that the king wasn't able to sleep. And because he wasn't able to sleep, he suddenly remembered, where is the book? Where are the chronicles of good things? And he suddenly saw Mordecai's. So the same prayer in delivering them ensured Mordecai's promotion. Read it. Read it. I hope you understand. Ensure Mordecai's promotion. So what they generated was beyond just delivering them. It ensured that Mordecai was now in the role, in the place. So when we're praying that people stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, we're generating power. I don't believe that being in all the will of God just means spiritual well-being. I believe it also means mental and physical well-being. It means there are places, there are positions men in this assembly should occupy. I believe so. And that's the will of God. Jesus had rich men who ministered to him, rich people. There's one woman called Susanna, related to a king. The man who gave a sepulchre that had never been anybody put in was wealthy. If they are not in position of importance and power, they won't be able to fulfill the will of God. I hope you understand that. So we're praying that, because some people, the extreme that they have is that they turn everything to spirit. As well as only spirit that you would do on earth over here. No. When we're praying that men should stand perfect and complete in all the will of God here in this assembly, we're saying that there is a place that you ought to occupy. There's a position, there's an office you are meant to stand in. Okay? There's a particular placement that God wants you to have, even on this earth, that will further the plans and purpose of God. Hallelujah. Do you know, listen carefully, do you know there are ministries that if there's any case or land dispute, a minister was talking to me about something, said, when they were building the temporal structure that they have in the middle of, I think somewhere in Ireland, he said, the people that are from works and housing came and they were going to pull down the structure and revoke everything. He said, but he prayed. And when he prayed, he got a call from someone who happened to know the person who was the overall boss. And when that one had, he revoked the order. I don't know if you get it. Now, do you know that is God answering the prayer using natural means, supernaturally? I don't know if you get what I just said. What were they about to use against them? Political power. Brothers and sisters, political power can work against the church. if the church is not well positioned. It can. It actually can. It was political power that was about to destroy the Jews in this Sylvester. It was outmaneuvers because the saints, the Jews prayed. They prayed. Now, could God have delivered them? Yes. Would they have done so? No, without a prayer, no. It was in prayer they generated power for the deliverance. And the things turned around. So in prayer, we turn things around. We bring good out of calamitous situations in prayer. That is why we can't stop praying. Saints are depending on us. Situations are riding on our praying. God himself is depending on us that will take our place and what and pray. In all this I'm saying, it wasn't so much, oh God, save. Oh God, deliver. It was God, you have placed ability to deliver within the church. We're exercising it. We're releasing it. Because the person you're about to cry to already wants it to be that way. Hallelujah. How can you be trying to petition God? Oh God, God, this child must not die. This child must not die. That child must not fail. No. You will not die but live. It is scripture. God is also that the length of your days I will fulfill. It's not God that says so. So how can the same person be the person you are trying to beg that he shouldn't? No, be on the same page with him. That's why I release power. The power he gives, you are not meant to channel in the place of prayer to effect his will. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you with me tonight? Are we together tonight? So Colossians 4 now. Do we have a prayer point to start with today? Yes. Glory to God. Colossians 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand what? Perfect and complete. Where? In all the will of God. After this, we pray one more prayer point and then we go home. So let's start praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For every single member of this assembly, we pray. Remember, we're releasing tremendous power towards them. Power to cause them to walk straight, to be steadfast in the things of God, to walk in the light of his counsel, to walk in the fullness of his will. Every single member of this local assembly, in the name of the Lord Jesus, both the weak and the strong, both the consistent and the inconsistent, we pray that they will stand perfect and complete in all the will of God in this season. Leandros, we release enough power to cause people to walk in the light. No lukewarmness is permitted or allowed. No sliding back is permitted in any way, but everyone walking in God's plan and purpose in the fullness of his will. And then grastico sugo a grasta caso brosto bracastica a gegico suzu brosta freshti ijishu brosta fracotosa a gensizo brosta bluim. 3 John 2 says, I wish above all things, or I pray above all things, that you will prosper and be in health. And be in health. The one be there means abide in a state of continuous health. Now, even though we have meetings, it's not every time that people receive at those meetings. So we're praying for every saint also when it comes to their health, that they will be in health. Hallelujah. That means we release power for every single saint to what? Abide in health. Remember that Philippians 1:19 that says that I know this shall turn. So we're using prayer, we're ministering supply of the Spirit to ensure every single member here, they walk in sustained health in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. We pray concerning the well-being, the physical health of every single saint in this assembly. Eli Greco Brogriastica Lakista, Lesh Brasto Bracotakia, Eli Kingumbo, Lombunga Avracato Libriste, Ezike Sigu Brogaste, Ekasibrusta Vracosto, Lunibre Catomo, Every Pekike Ligre Kigeshi Breke Sugosus Brocosta Gastia, Ekaga Brocuste, Ese Brobagana Munge, Eli Anga Kubrakovushe, Ezisu Brohe, Efretikopa, Efretugubruste, Nisusu Brusta Vracato. To be a kekele grupo galagabosa esubrote ni hana shato ozef bratio obrakaste esibreko bakaste elele kalubruno koste lizubrote liashto obrakaste eni akumundre tiko mose bregatum Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Ephesians chapter 6, I want us to pray for utterance. Verse 9 says, "And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds." Look at the last verse, "that daring I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Then I want us to pray for signs and wonders in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I think it's verse 12. I want to see an admission by the Apostle Paul. It says, "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders, and one mighty deeds." The one patience means consistently. That's what patience means, consistently. In other words, we cannot afford to have a mindset that limits signs and wonders to special meetings. Every gathering of the saints is a special meeting. Hallelujah. So we sustain what we have. And you know, in those prophecies that came forth, there is meant to be a continuity. So our services were not designed of God to be ordinary, because we are not ordinary. So let's pray for our trans in the name of Jesus, and let's pray that signs and wonders will be made manifest in all our services. The gift of the Spirit will be on full display. Men will yield to the Spirit of God, and the gift of the Spirit will be fully manifest. The power of God expressed consistently in all our services. Thank you, Father. And I'm on the to go. Thank you. And Nakubra Castilekishtekasta. Thank you for September is a month of great things for us. We advance, we make progress, we cross over into new things, we excel in all that we do. We have your wisdom, we have your direction, we have your leadership in all that we do. We take mighty steps. We allo broshta ganse fredika la kishta o sevrasta la gaka sibroguta. Good things unfold. Testimonies abound of your faithfulness, of your goodness everywhere we look. We give you praise, Father. We exalt you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.